The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio. Welcome, race fans. Here's your local racing authority, Sam Chapman, with this week's Sound of Speed on Beach Booster Radio.
Welcome, race fans, and this is The Sound of Speed on Beach Booster Radio, and I'm your host, Sam, here to recap a great weekend of racing with Formula One in Bahrain, MotoGP took to the track in Argentina, the Verizon IndyCar Series would be at the Diamond in the Desert, the Phoenix International Raceway, and the NASCAR Camping World Trucks and Sprint Cup Series were in Martinsville, Virginia for two great days of racing. We'll get things rolling with Formula One in Bahrain for race number two of the season. Mercedes would again lock out the front row, with Nico Rosberg leading the field off the starting line. Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Massa would make contact going into turn one, damaging Hamilton's Mercedes and giving teammate Nico Rosberg the lead. Rosberg would hold the lead for the remainder of the race, but Ferrari's Kimi Raikkonen would give chase for most of the Grand Prix, and Lewis Hamilton would rebound from his lap one issues to come home in third. This would be Rosberg's fifth consecutive Grand Prix win. MotoGP would be in Argentina for the MotoGP Grand Prix of Argentina. Marc Marquez would take the pole in qualifying with Valentino Rossi close behind. Marquez was untouchable on his Repsol Honda all day long, and it looked like the Ducati pair of Andrea Iannone and Andrea Dovizioso would take the final two podium steps before Andrea Iannone would take out his teammate and himself on the final lap, giving second to Valentino Rossi, and Danny Pedrosa would take the final podium step after the exciting final lap. This win would give Marc Marquez the lead in the riders' point standings just two races into the year. The Verizon IndyCar Series would be in Phoenix for the Desert Diamond West Valley Phoenix Grand Prix. Elio Castroneves would take the lead on lap 1 of the 250-mile event. Castroneves would lead the field for the opening 40 laps as teammate Juan Pablo Montoya would take the lead on lap 40, looking to have a fast Penske Chevrolet. But Scott Dixon's car would come to life as they worked through the first several runs, and he would take the lead from Juan Pablo Montoya on lap 95 and never look back as he cruised on to win number 39 of his career, tying Dixon with the legendary Al Unser Jr. for fourth in all-time series victories. Here's what Dixon had to say following his first win of 2016.
Yeah, it's fantastic, obviously, to be back at Phoenix. I think 10 or 11 years since we've been here, and I think I was one of the few on the grid to have actually driven here in previous years. And the weekend wasn't totally smooth for us. We missed a little bit in qualifying, and we knew we had a good race car, and a lot of it was going to be about track position amongst people that were similar speeds. It was definitely it was a tough fight out there tonight. Probably one of the toughest short ovals that I can think of recent history, just with how you had to manage the tires, fuel mileage strategy, and for me tonight, a lot of credit goes to the team. Strategy was perfect, the pit stops were just amazing, and the setup was fantastic on the car. But it was really tough. I think for next year, it's everybody did a great job for first time back after being away for about 11 years. So the track's changed a lot. I think we learned a lot tonight. Everybody did, and I'm excited to come back next year.
The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series would be in Martinsville after a long early season break for the running of the Alpha Energy Solutions 250. Rookie Ben Rhodes would lead the field down to the drop of the green flag Saturday afternoon. Rhodes and Kyle Busch would trade the lead back and forth a couple of times before Rhodes' truck would fade away. Kyle Larson would begin to put pressure on Busch and was able to take the lead for 79 laps before Canadian Cameron Haley would take the lead for a brief period before Busch would take back his regular place on point. The race would be delayed by two red flags for incidents on track and run into overtime, where Busch would have to hold off the field one more time. Fortunately, he was able to keep the field at bay and get his first ever NASCAR win in Martinsville. Busch has made 30 attempts to win one of Martinsville's famous grandfather clocks. Here's what Busch had to say post-race.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've gotten a couple, I guess, as an owner, but have yet to have scored my first one for myself. So this is a pretty cool day, and I just can't thank everyone at Kyle Busch Motorsports enough. I can't thank Wes Ward for taking time out of his life to come be a part of this whole program on the fourth team. It's just kind of a bunch of guys we threw together to kind of go have some fun and run some races to kind of do some R&D stuff and work on some things. So obviously it seemed to be turning out so far so good, but just great day. Really looking forward to tomorrow as well, too, with the race car that I got on the M&M's Camry. So we'll see how that goes, too.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series would also be in Martinsville for the STP 500 and the first short track race of 2016. Joey Logano and Casey Kane would lead the field down to the drop of the green flag on a sunny Sunday afternoon. It wouldn't take long before the first yellow flag would fly on lap 6 for an incident on track when Dale Earnhardt Jr. and David Ragan would make contact on track, cutting down the left rear tire of the 88 Chevrolet, sending Jr. around. Jr. did manage to keep his car off the wall and continue without any more issues. Once the first run got underway, front row starters Joey Logano and Casey Kane would start to drop back, with Logano, who was easily the pre-race favorite, going a lap down before lap 100. Logano wouldn't be the only favorite to have issues Sunday afternoon. Denny Hamlin would suffer from some wheel hop issues as he entered turn 1, sending him up the track and hard into the outside wall, ending Hamlin's chances at a win just a handful of laps after he cracked the top 5. This would bring out the yellow flag on lap 222. Jamie McMurray would bring out the final yellow flag after he would go for a spin in turn 2. This would set up the final restart of the day with 11 laps to go, where the dominant car of the afternoon, Kyle Busch, would have to hold off the field for the second day in a row. He would do that despite a hard-charging AJ Allmendinger, who would put a lot of pressure on Busch, but was never able to get his nose under the 18, as Busch would sweep the weekend, getting the win in the STP 500. AJ Allmendinger would come home in second, Kyle Larson would finish in third, and Austin Dillon and Brad Keselowski would round out the top 5. Let's hear what Busch had to say following his second victory of the weekend.
Yeah, it was a really good car, you know, obviously, with practice and everything and learning some things about the car and the track yesterday. You know, we were able to have a really good piece, and we knew that and understood that, and then we were able to come out here today and put it all together and have a really good piece all throughout the race as well, too. And leading as many laps as we did, that was really good for us. It was a confidence boost for me as well, too, just being up front that much. You know, I've never really felt like I've had a car to be able to do that in years past, but Adam and the guys were able to give that to me this time around. So, you know, pumped about you know, the things that I learned here this weekend, let alone the years past or years prior that I was able to learn. And, of course, my teammates that helped me out a lot here over the years. So to be able to finally put it all together, it's pretty cool. And take home not one but two Martinsville trophies, Martinsville clocks is pretty awesome.
Points as NASCAR heads to Texas for the first Saturday night race of 2016. Kevin Harvick leads Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, and Joey Logano would round out the top 5 in points as NASCAR gears up for the Lone Star State. AJ Allmendinger would put on an impressive run, coming home in second for his first top 5 of 2016. Here's what he had to say post-race.
Yeah, I mean, just a really solid weekend as a whole. You know, we had a good qualifying, a great happy hour, and, you know, early in the race, we weren't quite where we wanted to be, and we got our car really, really good on the long runs. That's kind of where I thought we shined. We could. We didn't have great short run speed, but after about 30 or 40 laps, we could really get rolling there. I was kind of hoping we'd stay green the last 120 laps. I figured that wasn't going to happen, but I was praying we had a shot at that, because I really felt like if that happened, we had a great chance to win the race. But overall, just solid. You know, Randall Burnett, first-year crew chief, Ernie Cope coming aboard, they've made a huge difference. You know, my crew chief last year, Brian Burns, kind of going down back to his engineering role, and Tony Palmer, that was the engineer last year, being kind of the second race engineer. Everybody's just embraced their roles. It's made this team a lot of fun to be around. Tad and Jody Geschichter, they've really put that extra effort into the race team this year to get the personnel, anybody that saw our car, obviously, get the sponsors as well. And pit crew really stepped up the last 2 weeks. They've been awesome. So just a solid race.
Tune in Saturday evening and hear the very first Sound of Speed Saturday Night pre-race show. I'll get you set up with everything you need to know as NASCAR gears up for the first night race of 2016. Until then, you can head on over to the Sound of Speed's Facebook and Twitter pages and keep in touch and up to speed with all the motorsports news throughout the week. Before I go, I'd like to thank Beach Booster Radio. Without them, the Sound of Speed wouldn't be possible. Head on over to beachboosterradio.ca to listen to some great music, shows, and keep in touch with everything Wasaga Beach. Hit the podcast tab at the top of the page, and you can find the latest edition of the Sound of Speed and all the other great shows that Beach Booster Radio has to offer. And be sure to check out the blog, where you can find the digital version of the Beach Booster publication, which is always great to read. You can also download the Beach Booster Radio app from the Google Play and Apple App Store for free, and take Beach Booster Radio with you everywhere you go. That's about it for today. Don't forget to join me Saturday evening to get set up for the Duck Commander 500 at the Texas Motor Speedway with the very first Sound of Speed Saturday Night pre-race show. Until then, thanks for listening, and have a great night, race fans.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario, We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Hi, this is Brian Smith, Mayor of the Town of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.